This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Another big bailout for banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thank you for joining us as we continue with Fallout, our coverage of the financial crisis. Banks could be getting yet another helping hand from Uncle Sam. The New York Times reports this morning that Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is thinking about buying up big chunks of stock in U.S. banks. If that plan sounds strangely familiar, it's because yesterday the UK announced a similar plan for its own banks, and Paulson says we need to do whatever it takes to get investors feeling good again.
Because of this widespread uncertainty, investors are hesitant to commit capital to financial institutions. Investor confidence is critical to restore liquidity and enhance the stability of our financial system.
The move would be kosher under that $700 billion bailout plan Congress passed last week. But what would it mean? Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson takes a look.
Anton Schutz is a portfolio manager at the Burnham Financial Services Fund. He says it's pretty clear Secretary Paulson wants to exercise his new authority and take an ownership stake in struggling banks.
My guess is it would be very similar to the types of structures that Warren Buffett just did with both General Electric and Goldman Sachs, where it might be a preferred with some sort of warrants to be able to buy shares into the future.
If the government does buy preferred shares in U.S. banks, there are major concerns. Number one, banks may be hesitant to accept such assistance for fear it will reveal weakness and scare other investors away. And number two, says Cornelius Hurley of Boston University's Center for Banking and Financial Law,
this would be a massive shift in our capitalist system.
Hurley says it would also raise questions about how much control the government would have over bank operations. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
I'm not sure if it's that plan or just because everybody's tired of losing money, but the markets are looking bullish today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 1.33% to 9,431. The Nasdaq up 2.25% to 1779, and the S&P 500 up 1.75% to 1002. Good to have four numbers there again. And Europe is also looking good. London's FTSE is up 2%. Germany's DAX is up 1.5%. And oil is down to $89 a barrel this morning. That on worries of a global recession. Those are some powerful worries. Remember, just a few months ago, a barrel of oil cost $147. As financial turmoil shakes the globe, the World Economic Forum has released a survey rating global banking systems. And as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, you don't have to look too far to find the world's soundest banks.
In fact, all you have to do is run for the border, the northern border. According to the survey, Canada has the strongest banking system on the planet. The World Economic Forum polls business execs and then ranks the banking systems of 134 countries. The U.S.'s failed banks and massive bailouts didn't do much to inspire confidence in our system. Our country's banks came in at number 40 on the list, below Estonia and Namibia. Another country planning a bailout, the United Kingdom, didn't fare much better. Once in the top five, the UK has now fallen to 44. Among the new pillars of confidence in the world, Sweden, Luxembourg, Australia, and Denmark. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Thursday, October 9th at marketplace.org. As you heard, oil is down this morning to about $89 a barrel, but just a few months ago, a barrel of crude cost $147.
That was bad for you and me, good for oil companies. They were raking in record profits. Will that continue now that oil's cheaper? Ashley Milne-Tite takes a look.
Thanks to a slowing economy, the world isn't nearly as thirsty as it was earlier this year. But that doesn't mean the third quarter is going to be a bust for the oil companies. Energy analysts say despite the recent fall in oil and natural gas, average prices are still higher than they were a year ago. $147 a barrel highs occurred in the third quarter after all, and they're likely to push up companies' results. As for the hurricanes that ravaged the Gulf Coast last month and damaged refineries, analysts say capacity may have been reduced, but prices went up as a result. As for the rest of the year, if prices stay below $100 a barrel, some analysts predict oil companies' fourth quarter earnings could slide. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
It's time for the next stop in Marketplace's series, Road to Ruin. Marketplace's Amy Scott is out on the American road. Today, she introduces you to a small business owner in Cincinnati who's taking a direct hit from the financial crisis.
Hearing Morton MacArthur list the merits of this 96 Toyota Land Cruiser, you can tell he's a natural salesman.
If you look up on Consumer Reports, these are the ones that they'll say that, you know, if you can afford the gas mileage, it's one of the best vehicles in its class.
MacArthur owns Mort's Imports in Cincinnati. It's a small used car dealership. MacArthur used to work as a finance manager for a large dealer. He was the guy who helped customers get car loans. But he had so many fights with salesmen over customers with bad credit, he took a different approach to his own business.
So when I started this up, I thought, you know, I don't think I'm even going to mess with it. I'm going to direct people to go to their own banks, credit unions, get their financing if they can, fine. But if not, for most of these cars, for $5,000, go to grandma.
The strategy worked great for about 3 years. But then the housing market took a dive. The economy slowed down. And credit from the bank or grandma started drying up. To stay in business, MacArthur hasn't paid himself a salary in months.
I'm losing money paying my advertising and staying in business, and I want to stay in business, and I think used cars are going to do good. But at the moment, very few people that can afford a car are willing to make the decision to part with the money to get one.
MacArthur has one thing going for him. Many dealers have to borrow money to buy the cars they sell. MacArthur doesn't, but he says he's had some friends in the business go belly up because they couldn't keep up with their loan payments. At the end of another day, MacArthur zips up the bag with all his car keys for the night.
And we'll put them back here in the safe.
He's optimistic about the car business. After all, he says, no one's come up with a real alternative to driving.
It's going to eventually come back. All I need to do is just withstand.
He figures he can withstand another 6 months living off his savings. But if the business doesn't come back by then, he'll have to close shop. In Cincinnati, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Finance ministers from the group of seven industrialized nations meet in Washington tomorrow to discuss the global economic meltdown. Thought we'd check in with our European correspondent, Stephen Beer, to get a handle on some of the topics they might be discussing. Stephen, markets are looking pretty darn good this Thursday, but what's the mood like in Europe?
One of relief, I would say, that Armageddon has been averted, and yesterday's coordinated cut in interest rates certainly has raised hopes of more international cooperation. And I think markets are now looking to the G7 meeting in Washington tomorrow for more international coordination in tackling this crisis.
Yesterday we had news of a massive British rescue package. Is that going to be a talking point for the G7? Is this something other countries might be looking to adopt?
Some analysts here think that it should. The plan generally has been quite well received by financial markets here, and particularly the fact the government will be guaranteeing with up to $500 billion of taxpayers' money the loans that banks make between themselves. There is a widespread view here that that could be actually the best chance of bringing confidence back to the banking system.
One thing we've been hearing a lot in this country about the bailout package is concern about the government taking such a big role in the economy. Have you been seeing backlash in the UK?
Well, no major backlash yet, but on the street, people are, of course, beginning to grumble about the financial aspect of this, saying they can find this money to prop up the banks, but they can't find similar amounts of money to put into healthcare and education. But I think there is a growing recognition here that both public services may suffer a bit, but also that the government is going to be playing an absolutely huge role in the banking system.
So other than the stock market, what kind of economic signs are we seeing these days?
One slightly ominous indicator today, German exports have suffered their biggest annual fall for 5 years. So that's the world's biggest exporter of goods feeling the effect of a global slowdown. So that's bad news about the state of the global economy. The big question now, of course, is how all this financial turmoil is going to affect the behavior of ordinary consumers. Will they lose trust in the whole financial system? And one small and rather ominous indicator there, sales of safes and safety deposit boxes are booming in Britain. So while the government struggles to restore confidence between the banks, it seems people are themselves losing faith in the banks to look after their money.
What about you, Stephen? Have you gotten a safe yet?
Not yet. I haven't got any money.
Well, then I guess we're still okay. Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, coming to us from London. Stephen, thank you so much.
Okay, Stacey.
How are you preparing for the economic downturn? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.